open them roughly in the middle to Psalm 106. It's on page 485 in the Pew Bibles, and we're beginning at the first verse. Praise the Lord! Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty doings of the Lord or declare all his praise? Happy are those who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you deliver them, that I may see the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory in your heritage. Both we and our ancestors have sinned. We have committed iniquity, have done wickedly. Our ancestors, when they were in Egypt, didn't consider your wonderful works. They didn't remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled against the Most High at the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, so that he might make known his mighty power. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it became dry. He led them through the deep as through a desert. So he saved them from the hand of the foe and delivered them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. But they soon forgot his works. They didn't wait for his counsel, but they had a wanton craving in the wilderness and put God to the test in the desert. He gave them what they asked, but sent a wasting disease among them. They were jealous of Moses in the camp and of Aaron, the Holy One of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the faction of Abiram. Fire also broke out in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf at Horeb and worshipped a cast image. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying them. Then they despised the pleasant land, having no faith in his promise. They grumbled in their tents and did not obey the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he raised his hand and swore to them that he would make them fall in the wilderness and would disperse their descendants among the nations, scattering them over the lands.
Over recent weeks, we've been following a series on promises of God, and we're moving into another season, the season of the praises of God. And what I'd love you to be doing over these coming weeks is to be thinking about how to cultivate a lifestyle of praise, how to live a lifestyle of praise in every area of your life, not just on Sunday morning, but in all the things that you do. And just encourage you to kind of be awake to that and to see how God might move in your life about being a person of praise. I've actually been thinking about lifestyles a bit recently. Debbie and I have been quite busy organizing the rebuilding of the kitchen in the vicarage in the church's house here, which was destroyed through a water leak or very badly damaged back in April, and it's finally taking shape. And I've realized by doing this that actually Designing a lifestyle is a very labor-intensive activity, you know. The amount of care that goes into choosing the colors and the designs and, you know, what kind of drawers do you want, and not just kitchens, but houses and cars and lots of things. People invest a huge amount of time and energy in their lifestyle, and lots of companies are selling lifestyles to people. So we put a lot of work and intentionality into that. And I'd like to encourage us to put intentionality and thought into our spiritual lifestyle, and particularly into cultivating a lifestyle of praise, which will transform everything else in our life. We see in the Bible that there's certain individuals who are particularly devoted to a lifestyle of praise, and there's a sort of beauty about their character. A great example is David. David wasn't absolutely perfect by any means. He had some serious flaws. But there was one thing about him, and that was that he had a deep commitment to a lifestyle of worship and of praise. He knew how to praise God. And we see again and again in very difficult times when he's really under the hammer, when enemies are kind of breathing down his neck and he's been betrayed, difficulties happen. Again and again, he finds resources in praise to respond and to reorient his situation towards what God is doing in his life. And I think that's just to speculate. Maybe that's something about why God chose him. He wasn't taller than other men. He wasn't more proven in leading. He wasn't shown to be a great warrior, but he was very experienced in worship. He was a man of praise, and that gave him an enormous, gifting for leadership that God discerned and chose him above many others. A thankful person is an attractive person. You know, if you know someone who by nature tends to be thankful about everything in life, you want to be with them. And if they're grumpy and not thankful, you sort of might feel like keeping your distance a little bit. I mean, if you help someone out, you're very kind to them and you lay yourself down on the line for them and they don't even acknowledge you or give thanks, you think, what's wrong with that person, you know? And actually, a thankful person, a person who lives in praise, is an attractive person. And attractive to God as well. It's attractive to God. And so there's a pathway of blessing and grace in being a person of praise, in choosing as an act of decision of the heart, of the will, of the soul, to be a person of praise. Well, how is your praise life? How's the praise going in your life? Is the tap switched on, or is it sort of just dripping occasionally? This particular psalm is a psalm of exile. The people of Israel have been distributed. The people of Judah and Israel have been distributed to the nations. And this psalm is reflecting on what that means, to have that legacy of judgment upon his house and upon the whole nation of the Jewish people. And he's reflecting what went wrong, why were they destroyed, why were we scattered to the winds, and what will it take for the change to happen in our heart. And there's a reflection in the psalm on what was the issue that the people of Israel had difficulty with. Remember that God gave his covenant to Israel through Moses, promised them a land and blessing in the land. But they soon turned away from God and rejected God and lived very unjustly, oppressing the poor, worshipping other gods, even as this psalm in the later verses explains, even sacrificing their children to Canaanite gods. And the psalmist puts his finger on an issue in their spiritual life which explains why they turned away from God so much. And that issue is that they had an inability to remember. They forgot to remember. They forgot to remember two things. One is the promises of God to them, and secondly, the wonderful deeds that God had done in bringing them to where they were. They forgot the promises of God and the acts of God. They didn't reflect upon them. And we find this psalm is kind of built on the idea that if you remember the promises of God and God's favor to you, it brings forth praise and it brings forth joy and peace in your life. But if you forget the promises of God and you forget what God has done for you, then that causes bitterness and very bad choices to come and dominate your life, and you end up in a dark place. Actually, you end up under the judgment of God as well, as the people of Israel did. Let's consider some examples. The psalm begins in Egypt. The Israelites are in Egypt, and it just pushes in by saying that they, in verse 7, they gave no thought to the miracles of God. They didn't remember the many kindnesses. They were so quick to forget all the amazing miracles that God did in bringing them out of bondage. They rebelled by the Red Sea. They doubted God even as they were fleeing. But it says he saved them for his name's sake. He rebuked the sea and it dried up. So they were, until they were saved by God, they'd been acting like orphans. It's as if they had no one to care for them. Every time God would care for them and he'd intervene, he'd do a wonderful work. And then within a day or two, they'd forget. It's like they were determined not to remember what God had done for them. And they were determined to live as if they had no one caring for them, as if they were abandoned. And he keeps on saving them because of who he is. It says, for his name's sake, because he's watching his reputation, if you like. He wants to be known as glorious in saving his people. He wants to show his love for them, so he keeps saving them, even though they keep forgetting. And it's really interesting that immediately after they were rescued, when the Egyptians are destroyed in the waters of the Red Sea, and they escape, the Israelites escape, at that point, they believed his promises. So verse 11, the waters covered their adversaries, and not one of them survived. And then the Israelites, they believed his promises and sang his praises. So it's really interesting. They've just come through this amazing miracle of deliverance. The Egyptian army had been pursuing them, wanting to kill them. They escaped through the water, and they are alive. And at that point, they believe the promises of God, and they worship him. They sing God's praises there by the shore of the Red Sea. And there's the story of the sister of Moses and Aaron, Miriam, singing and dancing. The Lord has done marvelously. He's cast the enemies into the sea. So at that point, they remember, like, something amazing has happened, so they praise God. They're just full of praise. But it doesn't last long. Verse 13, they soon forgot what the Lord had done. They didn't wait for his counsel. They became really impatient. And they gave in to their cravings, to their desires. They were hungry for the old foods that they left behind. They wanted things to be in a certain way. They were grieving the loss of the Egyptian lifestyle. Even though it was a slavery lifestyle, they were missing their onions and their spices and their foods. They were in the desert and they were unhappy. And they forgot what God had done to rescue them. They forgot that they'd been being tortured and killed as slaves. They were just missing things in their life that were really very secondary to the glory and the purposes of God. And they go through a series of calamities and disasters brought upon by their forgetting of God. In fact, they're so forgetful that when Moses goes on the mountain for a while, goes up to the mountain, is talking with God, he's missing for a little while, then they kind of get itchy spiritual feet and they want a focus of worship, and not God, but they ask Aaron to make a golden calf, and they bow down to this idol, and they actually thank the idol for rescuing them from Egypt, which is amazing. They forgot to remember that it was God who did that. And he went to extraordinary lengths to show them that he was the one that was rescuing them, but they sort of had a determination to forget. I think today we would call this is a kind of person who has only a very short-term memory. They have no long-term spiritual memory. They can't remember anything from last week or last year. They can only remember the last few minutes. And that's the way they're living with God. God keeps doing these amazing things in their lives, but they live as if those things had never happened. And so instead of remembering and praising God, they forget God and they fall into idolatry. They fall into all kinds of sin. And they end up in a very dark place, actually. Very, very destroyed place. In fact, they even come to despise the land that God has placed them in, and they lose faith in the promises of God, which you see in verse 24. When they forgot that God had saved them, they even came to despise where they were living. That is, they were rejecting the promise of God. They didn't believe God's promises. So they forget two things. They forget the words of God, the promises of God. I'll take you into this blessed land. You will be blessed if you follow me and remember me. And they also forget the deeds of God, the miracles that God had done in rescuing them. They have double amnesia, and it's absolutely deadly. It's deadly for their spiritual life. Their praise life crashes completely because of that. And that leads them into grumbling, bitterness, despair, rebellion, selfishness, all sorts of injustice. The favor of God is withdrawn. They come under judgment as well. Their enemies begin to destroy them. They're scattered to the nations. They become a complaining, bitter people, and everything is bad for them. Nothing is enough for them. And they share in disappointment, pain, frustration, confusion, and hurt. And according to the psalmist, a key turning point is when they forgot to remember what God had done for them. That discipline of praising God, remembering his promises and his deeds was something they threw out the window just within, as it seemed, almost days of being rescued. They'd forgotten all about that and they went on their way. So here's this choice that is lying before us. You know, are you going to choose a forgetful lifestyle, a spiritual forgetting of what God has done for you, forgetting his promises and not keeping them in your mind? Or are you going to choose a remembering lifestyle, a lifestyle that cultivates the memory of what God has done in your life and his promises for you? If you choose a remembering spiritual lifestyle, then you'll find that you're standing on the rock of the promises of God. You're on solid ground. You live a life of blessing. The soul is lifted up. You can fix your gaze on God's purposes. Even in the worst storm, you're aware that God is sustaining you and protecting you. But if you choose a grumbling lifestyle, a forgetting lifestyle, you will experience pain. And you'll become, in the end, so self-absorbed in your own pain that you'll forget to praise God altogether. You'll forget the one who saved you and who made you. And it will not do you any good. Well, there's a choice. It's a choice of life, which is a choice of remembering and praising God, or a choice of forgetting, and it's death, really, a choice of pain, a life of pain. Will you let the promises of God be an anchor to your soul? Will you let the memory of what God has done in your life to rescue you be a reference point for how you live day by day, even in difficult times, even in hard times? In a sense, each one of us is called upon in the Christian life to develop a kind of CV of the acts of God in our lives, a remembrance of all the different things he's done to rescue us. And one of the most dangerous times you can be in is when you forget that CV, when you forget who you are and what you've been and what God has done. Look, I know there are disappointments at times, and sometimes we have to wait to see God work. But nevertheless, he places in our life these landmarks, these kind of milestones of his grace that are there to guide us, but they can only guide us if we remember them and we let them spur us to praise. In a broader sense, there are things to remember about what God has done in history, bringing salvation through Jesus Christ, the revelation of his kindness to us through the scriptures. There is that we need to remember, and our worship together is a lot about that, remembering what God has done for us in history, and the scriptures call us to that. This psalm is about that as well, remembering God's saving acts for his people. But we, all of us, also each have a story of our own, a story of grace that God gives to us. Sometimes it really surprises us and encourages us when God acts in a very particular way in our life, but in such a way that we know that it's his hand. Like, he could have sorted our problems out in a way that didn't bring our attention to the fact that he was the one doing it. But again and again, he does that. He does it in a way to help us know that the source of life is in God, that our salvation is in Jesus Christ. And when those little miracles of grace happen, they're there for a reason. You're being given like another deposit into the bank of your memories of grace that the Lord gives you to sustain you and enable you to hold your ground. Why should the Lord bless us if we don't praise him for all the wonderful things he's done for us? Why should the Lord bless us if our whole focus is on our problems and our pain and not on acknowledging the grace and the kindness of God and living in the promises of God? Part of your job description as a Christian is to know those promises and to live by them. Suppose, for example, you're in a situation, we're in a situation where we feel abandoned and broken and there's no one around us. We could remember what God says. In Deuteronomy 3:16, Moses was speaking to the people, and he says, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid." God says, "Don't be anxious. Don't be afraid." He says, "He will never leave you or forsake you." God will never leave you or forsake you. You can stand on that promise in the midst of that stormy and difficult place. And then Jesus says that he will send another, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to be with you forever. Such amazing promises that we have as our resources. But we need to remember them in the first place in order for them to be a catalyst for praise in our hearts. Are you in trouble? Remember. Are you down? Remember. Are there difficulties? Remember. Remember God's promises. Remember his deeds. Remember his interventions. Declare his promises. Declare his deeds. You know, one of the reasons why we share thanksgiving in our services for what God has done is because it spurs us to praise. It orients us towards the Lord. You know, I don't know, when you were a kid, you had those experiment that you do with iron filings. So you have iron filings on a piece of paper, you put a magnet under it, and you see all the filings kind of line up with the magnetic field caused by that magnet. And praise has that effect on our soul. That is, we praise God, it's like a magnet. It aligns out the structure of our soul with the purposes and the glory of God. It transforms us, it changes us. It makes all the difference. The lifestyle of praise is an incredible gift that God has given to us. And let me tell you, the scriptures put so much energy into equipping us for a lifestyle of praise. Praise is also a weapon. It's a powerful resource. It's a very powerful resource in our hands. It's a defense against the enemy. I know there have been times in my life which have been really hard times, and I remember that it was at the point where I made a choice to praise God, to write a song, to get out the guitar and sing an old song again, just to declare thanksgiving for God, towards God. It was at those times that there was a change, a shift in the spiritual climate around me. And there was a change in my heart as well. Praise is an incredible weapon in our hands. If we start praising God, we gain a whole arsenal of spiritual power. Praise guards our hearts. Praise puts walls around our homes. It puts walls around our cities. It gives a defense to us. It calms our nerves. It brings peace to us. If we stand and give thanks to God for all he's done in leading us through everything, he will take us through what lies ahead of us as well. Remember what the psalmist says, his praise will continually be in my mouth. Let that be your motto as well. Wake up and praise God. Go to bed and praise God. Remember, recall the things that he's done in your life, the things he's done in history, his amazing promises to you. And as you do this day by day, your repertoire, your language of praise will grow. Your resources of praise will increase. And one blessing leads to another. May you know that when you're in difficulties, when you face times of trial, when you're under pressure, that you have this incredible treasure that he's given you, and you'll be able to cry out, even in the middle of the darkest night, I love you, Lord, I bless you, I magnify you, there's none like you. I lift up your name, you are God over my situation. You are sovereign over all my circumstances. I will wait for you. I will give you the glory. You will be glorified in my life. You are my peace. You are my bridge over troubled water. You never forsake me. Though I may sleep, you never sleep. Your angels are about me day and night. Whatever the circumstance, the Lord will grant to you a resource of praise. Invest in that resource. Grow that resource in your life. May we all be people who live a lifestyle of praise and know the incredible power and the blessings that brings in your life. Look away from yourself. Look towards God and what he's done, what he's said, what he's promised. Remember his deeds. Remember his promises. And you will be strong, even in the wildest storm. Let me pray. Heavenly